Y'all new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports NFL Podcast. This show is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. I'm Will Brinson, and I'm joined by John Breach and the bold predictor himself, Pete Prisco, live from Fort Lauderdale. What's up, fellas?
What's going on?
Doing all right? By 56 million people tuned in to Chiefs-Bills on Sunday night. I think we should all get raises.
It's incredible. I mean, it's amazing what Taylor Swift has done. I mean, look, all the games had had high ratings, but that one had the best. And I think, you know, her being around adds to it. I don't think there's any question.
Yeah.
And so does a shirtless Jason Kelce. That's the thing. Look, my wife, huge Taylor Swift fan. But when that game was over, the first thing she brought up to me was, Jason Kelce's crazy. So that is how much Jason Kelce's craziness struck.
Is she watching separately from where you were watching?
Well, I watch in my office, and she watches not in my office, so yes.
But she was watching the game, and you just didn't watch with her?
Oh, no, she watches other stuff that wives watch. She doesn't, like, watch flips channels. She'll check in to see what she is.
Yeah, like during commercial of, like, Below Deck, she'll flip in and check in.
Right. Or Property Brothers or something.
Yeah. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to hit that like button or hit subscribe as well. Turn on notifications. We'll get notified when we go live, which will be, it's always helpful this time of year. Jim Harbaugh, the Chargers, maybe having a little something going on here. You'll want to know when we go live on our emergency podcast. So hit subscribe and click that bell button. If you're listening on any various podcast platform, make sure and give us a 5-star review in the feed. We actually have an emergency podcast from Monday night when Breach and I talked about Brian Callahan being hired by the Titans, the Bengals OC, former Bengals OC, and of course our early leans for the championship week. Today we're going to do divisional round. We're going to look at our divisional round bowl predictions and do conference championship bowl predictions. But first, Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers reportedly, quote, within striking distance on a deal, Pete. Is this a good move? If this happens, and the early buzz is that Greg Roman would be his OC, which is an interesting fit with Justin Herbert.
Ugh, what a waste. I mean, Jim Harbaugh is a winner. You can't deny
wins
that.
Everywhere he goes.
But he wins by playing physical, offensive and defensive football, which I'm okay with, by the way. I think if you're not tough on both lines, you got problems. I don't care how good your quarterback is even. You better be physical on both sides of the ball. Now, having said that, if you're bringing Greg Roman in, that makes no sense. I said this earlier. We were doing a hit on HQ. Jim Harbaugh going to the Chargers can't make Justin Herbert feel good. It just can't. And I know if somebody, and Danny Cannell said, well, he can be excited about being a winner. And I'd rather throw the ball around. I want to be, you know, would you rather be Trent Dilfer or Dan Marino? I'd rather be Dan Marino. I hope that they don't try and rein Justin Herbert in by bringing in a guy like Greg Roman. I don't like it.
Well, all right. So the Greg Roman thing is definitely concerning. And that's why it was like if Harbaugh went to the Bears and you had Justin Fields or Caleb Williams and Greg Roman, maybe that's different.
But Herbert's athletic too. He's not sure. Remember, he ran for over 100 yards in the Rose Bowl back in the day.
Right. No. Herbert's extremely athletic. I'm just saying, like, Greg Roman was awesome in 2019 when he busted out this offense for Lamar Jackson. And same thing when he busted out, you know, the Colin Kaepernick offense for the 49ers back in the day. And he was there when Alex Smith had his turnaround, too. So it's not outrageous to suggest that Harbaugh and Greg Roman could make it work really well with Justin Herbert. But I do think it's fair to, like, do you think it's more, I think it's more likely that he gets the most out of Herbert. Like, he gets the most out of his quarterbacks. He's just not always working with the best quarterbacks.
Well, he had Andrew Luck at Stanford.
I mean,
and they did pretty well.
But yeah, he made Andrew Luck. Like, I mean.
He didn't make Andrew Luck. Stop it.
I actually think the Andrew Luck comparison is why the Justin Herbert situation could work, because Greg Roman was at Stanford for 2 years with Jim Harbaugh and Andrew Luck, and the three of them took a already talented quarterback, as you said. They did not make Andrew Luck, but that team, that offense looked pretty efficient out there. And well, you know, Stanford was a laughing stock in that conference for a little bit.
Call up Andrew Luck's numbers at Stanford.
I've got them right in front of me. I was looking them up. The first year, 56.3% completion percentage, 2,575 yards, 13 touchdowns, 4 interceptions as a freshman in 12 games. Second year, sophomore, of course. Did he miss a year for injury? It's weird. They haven't listed sophomore than senior. Bizarre. Anyway, he was only there 3 years, right? Yeah. So second year, 13 games, 70.7% completion percentage, 3,338 yards, 32 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. And then his final year, 13 games, 71.3% completion percentage, 3,517 yards, 37 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Yards per attempt went down a smidgen, down to 8.7 from 9.0. But, I mean, you know, aside from the completion percentage his first year, just outstanding stuff. And he ran the ball,
and he was great off of play action and everything else. He ran the ball. Look, if they're going to play like they did when Luck was the quarterback, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. But if you get 38 touchdown passes out of Justin Herbert, that'd be great. I mean, you'd take that any day.
He's going to win MVP if he does that,
right,
probably.
Right. Yeah. So, if they play like they did when they were at Stanford, okay. But J.J. McCarthy didn't throw the ball much at Michigan. I mean, he was, and that's why his evaluation's hard, because he didn't throw the ball a lot at Michigan. So, yeah, I mean, look, Harbaugh's a great hire. The shelf life will be short, I think. I mean, that's just who he is. The shelf life is going to be short. But if you can get physical offensive line and physical defensive line, you're going to win in this league, provided you have a quarterback, and they have a quarterback.
And worth noting,
real quick, I want to touch on the shelf life thing real quick, because one thing you don't see is the family ownerships, the Cardinals, the Bengals, the Chargers make these big name hires where you're saying, all right, I'm going to give this guy all the control in the organization. So I think the shelf life thing is interesting, because I have a hard time seeing Harbaugh not butt heads with everyone in the Spanos family. If things get a little bit rocky, or if the Spanish family wants to go one way and Harbaugh's like, no, we're going this way, and you hired me, so that's what we're doing. It just seems like it's an odd coupling, even though I do think it would be a good hire for the Chargers.
Well, he's an odd coupling wherever he goes. He's an odd couple. He's an odd bird. He's a weird dude. I mean,
You're crazy, man.
He's weird. That's the only way to describe him. I mean, I remember the one press conference I was at, I think it was in Arizona. The 49ers played a game near Thanksgiving. And remember, he did the turkle wobble, wobble, gobble, 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 that one. Gobble, that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is this guy doing? He's just a weird dude. But he can coach, and he will instill a toughness in that team that you haven't seen.
So I would, the only thing I would push back too is that while he does have short shelf lives in most of the spots he's been, the San Francisco, he would have stayed in San, he would, I mean, he only got pushed out of San Francisco because of Trent Baalke, who has been shown, and you've talked about it on the show and elsewhere, Pete. I mean, it's been shown like that, you know, a different GM, maybe Jim Harbaugh is in San Francisco a little bit longer. And he has been in Michigan for 9 years. That's a long time.
It's also his alma mater. And at one point they were talking about getting rid of him. And then they kind of, he changed the way.
It was after the 2020, the COVID season, they asked him to take a pay cut. And that's why many people think he's fine leaving now. I think he also really, really, and this is kind of a no bleep Sherlock thing, but like he really wants to win a Super Bowl. He's talked about this. And obviously winning a national championship for his alma mater is freaking awesome. But I think Jim Harbaugh is wired in a way that means that if he wins a Super Bowl next year, the national championship at Michigan wouldn't even compare to winning the Super Bowl. Like, I think it drives him nuts that his brother has a Super Bowl and he doesn't.
Yeah, maybe. But again, winning a championship in college and then winning one in the NFL is special. I mean, it's hard to do. So it would be a great accomplishment.
Who's done that? Jimmy Johnson and
Pete Carroll did it.
Pete Carroll, yeah. That's right. Pete Carroll, Jimmy Johnson.
There's a couple others, but accomplishing that would be an amazing feat, and he's more than capable of doing it. It's just weird. It's hard. You know, look, Trent Baalke is also a little weird, so that you could see where those two would have a butting of the heads, and plus ego gets in the way. Always does.
Switzer did it too, by the way,
and Paul Brown.
And Paul Brown. I think that's only four that did it, right?
But Paul Brown didn't win a Super Bowl, but he won an NFL championship.
That's fine. Yeah. Plenty of them.
Yeah, several of them. The only four guys to do it. So Harbaugh would join that club. And I got to tell you, you know what I am here for if Jim Harbaugh goes to the Chargers? Jim Harbaugh and Sean Payton twice a year. We will get some like Sean Payton like choking himself like to make fun of. We can get some fights at midfield, and I'm here for that. All right.
Well, they'll both be physical teams by the time if they can stick around to mold them into the way they want them to be.
And they'll probably both end up being second and third place. That's the other thing about that division, man. Like, dude, good luck.
Well, because the Raiders with Antonio Pierce are going to be a much more physical team, too.
Yeah. Who was it that said, did somebody say yesterday? Did you say this breach of the AFC? Somebody say that some division could be the best division in football? It wasn't the AFC West. The AFC West, if they get Harbaugh, that's the best division in football.
Well, remember, a year ago, the AFC West was supposed to be the SEC of the league, remember?
The AFC North is still pretty high. Yeah, if Harbaugh goes to the West.
If you rank divisions right now, the AFC North would be number one, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you got the only division in NFL history to put all teams over 500 and put three teams in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Steelers, hashtag magic beans.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I would rather, if you're doing a head-to-head, you would take, Ravens Chiefs, find out on Sunday on on CBS and on Paramount Plus. And then you would definitely take the Browns, Bengals, and Steelers over the following three. But I think if you add Harbaugh and give Sean Payton a quarterback, maybe that changes. All right.
By the way, I like the hire in Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. Real quickly, touch on that.
Yeah, because look, Will Levis needs a guy who's going to be a bright offensive mind. This guy's a bright offensive mind. I think getting him in there to work with that made all the sense in the world to me. To hire a guy who was going to be an offensive guy to work with the quarterback who the general manager drafted to be the franchise quarterback. So it works. And I think, you know, Callahan will make that offense much better. He'll make Will Levis into a much better player. And there's a lot of ability there, as you know how I feel about him, to kind of mold it around him. So I like the hire a lot.
You think he brings his dad with him?
If he can. I think he'll be able to. I mean, they shouldn't hold that up. That would be a little tacky if they tried to hold that up, I think.
Couldn't he?
It's the Browns, though, Pete.
I know. That would be tacky, though.
He'd have to make him like OC for him to leave, which...
Look,
I don't really wanted.
I would imagine, this is just me guessing, but if I'm Kevin Stefanski, and Kevin's a good dude, if Callahan really wanted to go coach with his son, I know Kevin Stefanski and his father are very close. You know, his father was in the NBA for a long time. general manager. And I can't imagine Kevin would block that. I just don't think he would.
Well, you'd also have a pretty disgruntled offensive line coach if you were like, sorry, dude, you can't go coach with your son.
I mean, my son's an NFL head coach. I should be able to go coach on his staff. Yeah. And you should understand why. It's not to make that team better necessarily, even though I think I would do that. It's to be with my son. They should allow that to happen. And I think Tevin's too good a guy. He's been around sports his whole life. I don't think he'd block that. I just don't. What? Now, the team might decide. They might, but I don't think Kevin would.
Yeah, it'd be a bad look if the Browns block that, because you're talking about a pretty small window for Bill Callahan and Brian Callahan to coach together. And that having that opportunity to do it as your son as the head coach, and I mean, who knows? You're probably not going to win a Super Bowl or anything like that, but you know, you could surprise some people. Anyway, moving along. Pete had an incredible wild card round, 3 of 6. On his bold predictions, 50% bold predictions, great. Pete made 4 bold predictions in the divisional round. Let's see how they went. In the Texans or Ravens, you said what, Pete?
The two quarterbacks will combine to throw for 575.
That is a ton of yardage for that means Lamar Jackson is slinging it. They did not quite get there. 327.
The weather was a factor. It was a little worse than I thought it was.
What's crazy, 327 combined passing yards. The crazy part is that C.J. Stroud threw the ball 14 times in the second half for 44 yards.
Yeah, he didn't play very well. And they struggled. They had way too many pre-snap penalties to kind of ruin drives. And I didn't – Bobby Slowick had a great week the week before. He didn't have such a good week this week.
A lot of first down runs.
I hated the – Yeah, he needed to dictate tempo, and I hated the trick play. They had rhythm. They were in a rhythm. Then he ran that stupid trick play and took him out of it. I didn't like that call at all. So I think that contributed. And Lamar struggled the first half. He didn't play well. He wasn't passing the ball very well either in the first half, and they kind of got back to the roots of him running and kind of got it going. So that was a bad prediction on my part.
Next up, Packers 49ers. You said that? Go bold.
The Packers are going to upset the 49ers.
Oh, A plus. So you weren't.
I think we give them this one. That one counts. I agree. My God.
I mean, I can't believe they didn't win that game. I was sitting there watching it. I'm astounded. First off, you get 6 points on 3 trips to the red zone in the beginning of the game. That should never happen. Then you blow that opportunity on the field goal to take a 7-point lead, and worst case scenario, you go to overtime. It just everything that could go wrong at the end of that game went wrong. They should have won the game. They were the better team that day. I'm not saying they're the better team, but in that game, they were the better team.
Yeah. Do you think that there's a case to be made? You talk about the Lamar slow start and then how San Francisco played. And maybe having that, like, you clinch the first number one seed and don't play anybody. And it's tough because, like, you don't want to play everybody in week 18. They get hurt and you look like an idiot. We've seen that before. But it did feel like both teams were a little sluggish out of the gate.
Yeah, and Green Bay did the one thing you have to do to beat San Francisco. They blocked them.
You block them, you beat them.
You beat them. You know, that's the way it is.
Maybe Detroit. Detroit's got a good blocking team. Interesting. All right, Buccaneers and Lions. You said that.
This one's going to get loose too. So I think you're going to see the two quarterbacks throw combined for
8 touchdowns.
Six passing touchdowns.
That is a lot. All right.
6 passing touchdowns, 3 each.
Almost. We got 5.
You get a half point there.
Yeah, that was
half good. Points fine.
3 and each, and Baker actually threw for 3.
Yeah, and I thought, if Gibbs doesn't rip off the long run, who knows, you might get the other one there. But I think that Baker played well. I love the way
Baker
he played.
Baker was awesome.
The interception at the end of the game, who knows if they're going to go get another touchdown anyways. I mean, long odds against it, but he had Godwin on the – if you go watch that play, he has him right on the left of that. Clearing and open. All he has to do is throw it to him, and he's got a first down at about 15 yards, and off they go.
Yeah. The Baker is great. He's back in Tampa Bay, right?
Has to be. Has to be. They want him back. Of course. Yeah.
He should want to be back.
Yeah, he wants.
Although I will say, I think that with Dan Morgan being hired as Carolina's GM, there's a non-zero chance of Dave Canales going to Carolina. Just a hot take. They were together in Seattle. But
yeah, I don't know.
Who do you think gets hired by the Panthers?
Tough. I mean, it's hard to pick who these guys are going to get. You know, I mean, they interview 40,000 people now. Remember, it used to be you'd interview like three guys and three pick guys. One. Yeah. Now they bring in 10. I mean,
it's crazy.
And by the way, if I was doing the interview, that's what I would do, because I'd pick the brain of everybody and steal as much as I could from every single guy that comes into that room. Seriously.
I believe you. That seems like a smart move and something you would do, but those things.
You got an NFL head coach an NFL coordinator who's been in the league for a long time, or even an innovative young one, and they're sitting in the chair next to you, and you pick their brain for, you know, 10 hours writing down stuff. And if you don't hire them, then you have all their stuff.
Yeah, it's like the scene from Silicon Valley when they bring the guys from Pied Piper in. They're like, "Yeah, we want to acquire you. So you can tell us about middle out compression." And they're like doing it on the whiteboard. They're like, "No, yeah. keep going." Yeah, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
All right. Finally, this is a shame. You know, it's a shame because. Actually, no, there's no real reason it's a shame, but you said this about the Chiefs and the Bills. Chiefs-Bills bold prediction.
Bold, huh? We need something bold. How about this for bold? Dalton Kincaid has a better game than Travis Kelce.
Ooh, that's spicy. That's very Breachian of you, because that's doable given how they played.
No.
You're going to have to shake it off.
That was bad. Shake it off. That was bad. Yeah. I don't think they used Kincaid enough. I don't think Dalton Kincaid got used enough.
You know what's funny though is that Kincaid did lead the Bills in receiving, so it's not like he didn't do anything in the game. It's just that Travis Kelce had a monster game because his brother and Taylor Swift were there.
Hey, well, also because they busted a coverage when he went for a touchdown. That was terrible.
And and they threw that little screen to him to get that second touchdown. Just they're like, you know what? Let's get him that record just in case he retires and we lose. We got to make sure.
It's pretty wild how just really spread out both teams were in terms of receiving. You know, you had Kelce 75, MVS 62, Rashee Rice 47. Nobody had more than 50 receiving yards for the Bills. That's wild.
Well, they would have had 50 on one play if Diggs had caught it.
Yes.
In his hands.
Do you think that Stephon Diggs is on the Buffalo Bills in 2024?
They need help. He doesn't run that well anymore. And not that he ever was a burner to begin with, but they need help. That should be priority number one for them, is getting.
They haven't invested a ton in the receiving. Yeah.
I mean, Gabe Davis being injured and being a kind of a flop this year really hurt that offense. Really hurt the offense.
And then Gabe Davis, did you guys see the clip of him like getting in a verbal fight with Bills fans while he's walking off the field?
And then said he was going to go to free agency. I mean, not a great week for Gabe Davis.
And then not a great week. Shakir has developed into he'll be a good slot receiver, but they need a threat down the field, you know, a bigger body threat down the field. And this is a good draft to get one. There's a ton of them in it.
All right. Number one seed. Having the number one seed is pretty important. By the way, new season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, the final season of Curb coming. New playoff system was introduced in 2020. 50% of the Super Bowl teams that span have been the one seed in this year. Both the Ravens and the 49ers can get there. I feel like, honestly, I'm trying to think what the last example of a team. You know, we said this year might be a crazy year. We got both one seeds and both three seeds making it to the playoffs. So one seed just has to win one game. Do you think that we're just – actually, I guess what do we have? We had which of the number one seeds are more likely to go down this weekend? Wait, what is it? What am I? Anyway,
which is the number one seed most likely to go down? I'll start that. The Ravens.
Yeah. Pete is reading the Brinson script for me. He doesn't even have one.
I was like, wait a minute. What am I? Yeah, you think the Ravens are more likely to go down?
Yes, I do. I think, you know, you got Patrick Mahomes in the postseason. He's done it before. He showed he could win on the road in the postseason last week against Lamar Jackson, who didn't play well in the first half last week, and all the pressure's on Lamar Jackson. You're the MVP. You know, you got to prove that you can get to a Super Bowl. So I think from that standpoint, I think that's definitely winnable for the Chiefs.
Breach. Chiefs, Ravens or 49ers?
I think that Pete has the right answer, and not just because all the pressure is on Lamar, but because they're playing the Chiefs. You're playing Patrick Mahomes. You're playing the guy who does not lose in the postseason. It's a 6th straight AFC title game. So just by that alone, it feels like the Ravens are more likely to go down. But this is a bold prediction show, so I'm going to say the number one seed that's more likely to go down is the San Francisco 49ers. The Lions are going to roll in there. They have the kind of roster, the kind of team they play, the beat-you-up football that could give the 49ers problems. So I'm going to say the Lions.
Well, I think they'll give them problems. I'm with you on that because I don't think the 49ers defense, again, if you block them, you're going to have success throwing it, and the Lions' offensive line is really good. So I think they'll be able to throw on them. So I think they're going to give them problems. I just don't see the Lions stopping them.
Joe Musso says he loves what you've done with the place, Pete.
I fixed it up nice, didn't I? It's a nice living room. It's really nice.
Yeah, it is. And actually, you look very comfortable in there. Bold prediction, so fine, I'll go one further. Both one seeds go down.
Woo!
That's right. You get a match with the Lions and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I've actually got a bet that's
out. Taylor Swift versus Eminem? They could do a duet for the national anthem.
That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Wow.
Who would you rather go to a concert of, Pete? Taylor Swift or Eminem?
Neither.
That wasn't an option.
I've got a Lions defeat Chiefs Super Bowl bet out there.
Pete was about to answer the question, Brenton.
I'd probably go see Eminem before I see Taylor Swift. But I'm actually – I have tickets to see Taylor Swift, I told you.
You going to sell those tickets or what's the deal?
I want to sell them. I don't want to go.
What's the going rate for those right now?
It's hard to sell them, though, because they have like a place where you're limited to the time you can sell them. You can't transfer them until a certain point. So three grand maybe per ticket.
Pete's already looked into it. This is hilarious.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, hell yeah.
Pete was talking about selling them before he bought them.
No, I didn't buy them. My wife got them. And
I know, but you mentioned that. You said, but when she was like, she's going to buy them, you're like, I might tell her to sell them no matter what.
Well, she's all into selling them too, though. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, interesting. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, more bold predictions for the NFL Conference Championships next.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
For those not watching on YouTube, and you can watch on YouTube, youtube.com/@NFL and CBS. I find the Tommy Tran and Musso, Joe Musso, our pal, is watching. I think the photo shoots of those two guys in suits by the fountains are pretty good.
Yeah, just ask Joe if he thinks it's pretty good. He'll tell you yes. That's for you, Joe.
All right, let's get in.
Here he is, by the way. Something I never have to do. This is Joe Musso when you're getting ready to go on the air with Joe.
Primping.
All right, let's get 2 bold predictions from each game because we only have 2 games. We need 4 bold predictions in total. Pete, we will start with Chiefs and Ravens. Give us a bold prediction from the AFC Championship game on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Let's see, bold prediction. Pacheco rushes for over 100 yards.
That's pretty bold because the Ravens do not give up a ton of rushing yards. Although you can beat them on the ground more than you can beat them through the air.
Yeah, but you have to beat them on the ground to open up the air. Mm. And that's why I think Andy Reid's going to be smart like he was last week. And it's not going to be a free throwing it all over the place, but he's going to take his shots like he did last week off the run game.
I like the idea of like Isaiah Pacheco and Roquan Smith meeting each other like right at the hole.
That's it's violent. Like, that's violent.
Yeah, fun violent. I love Roquan Smith, man. What a player.
Yeah, the Texans last week couldn't run at all, so that kind of negated what they did in the passing game. I think the Chiefs will run the ball better.
Okay. Lions and 49ers. Lions at 49ers. That game. Wait, which one is the
The early game is the CBS
game. Yeah. Lions at 49ers, 6:30 p.m. on Sunday.
The two quarterbacks combined for 700 passing yards and 5 touchdowns.
Wow. My God. The shootout.
That's a ton. Oh, we forgot to grade the first one. Breach, we got to grade the grade Pete's predictions.
I'm going to give the first one a B, but I'm going to give the second one an A.
Yeah, I'll go B minus, A minus.
Yeah, I think the second game is going to get loose. I really do. I think the way Ben Johnson calls a game, he's not going to be conservative. He's going to go down swinging, and the best way to go down swinging against that team, as we saw last week with the Packers, is to take those shots, the intermediate shots, all of them, and he's going to be smart and get the ball to his playmakers on the outside. I think that one gets crazy, and I don't think the Lions can stop the 49ers either, so I think that's going to go up and down the field.
Yeah, total of 51 in that game, which is pretty robust. Niners currently favored by 7 points, although that went down to 6.5, back up to 7. Some juice on the
Lions. And let's not forget that the Lions gave up the 6th most passing yards in the NFL this year. So I think it kind of feels, but they were very good at stopping the run. So it is, does Kyle Shanahan trust Brock Purdy enough to just hand him the game and say, all right, you're going to do this? Because remember, Jimmy Garoppolo in big games, there was a couple where he just ran the ball the whole entire game and wouldn't put it on Jimmy's shoulders. And it didn't really feel like he put it on Purdy's shoulders until he had to when they were trailing against the Packers. And so what happens this week when there's no room to run and you really need to throw the ball?
Yeah, and Purdy didn't play great in that game and until he had to, like you said. He made some throws. You know, we had a debate up here in the newsroom. They were raving about that throw he made to Juwan Jennings in the middle of the field.
Yep.
I mean, Jennings made a great catch on that ball, the high one. You know, it's a good throw over the top. He kind of layered it in there, but the receiver made a hell of a play on that.
Yeah, too. Purdy's had a fine game.
And the one thing I'll say
to
that,
he closed it out. Don't get me wrong. I mean, like overall, you're not going to give him like crazy, you know, crazy great.
No, but he runs the offense.
He's a great point guard. He's a great point guard.
But real quick on the Juwan Jennings throw, there was a throw earlier this year where Gardner Minshew got one of his receivers nailed. I think it was Michael Pittman, and Brady came out and said, well, you know, these quarterbacks just, you got to put the ball in a place where your receiver's not going to get nailed. And so, yeah, I mean, it was an okay. It was a great throw, I guess. But as Pete said, it's a great catch because Juwan Jennings, he is hanging his receiver out there to dry, is basically what's happening. Jennings knows he's going to get decked, and he still caught it. So I think that was more of a Jennings catch than a Purdy throw.
Like the Josh Allen throw to Stephon Diggs was a great throw that wasn't a catch.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that was an unreal throw, and he didn't catch it. I mean, by comparison, the other one was a good
unbelievable. Throw. It was all on the money, 80 yards down the field. I mean, it's ridiculous.
You know, somebody, who was it? I think it was Darius Slayton. Did you see his tweet? Darius Slayton said something about he had to slow down a little bit so it was underthrown. mean,
sure, whatever you say, Darius.
Technically, he did, but you ripped it 80 yards in the weather. Think about that.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Back to the Ravens and the Chiefs. Bold prediction number 2 from you, Pete.
You want another one?
Yeah. Taylor Swift is not shown once on the broadcast. How about that?
That isn't happening. I heard somebody talking about if they make it to the Super Bowl, she'd have a hard time getting
She'd have to come back off a tour, I believe.
In Japan.
She's in Tokyo.
Yeah, she's coming back for the Super Bowl.
But
it's not like she's getting on a commercial airline to come.
Yeah. You
know, she's probably the on biggest, she could sleep the, biggest, the whole thing in a bed, in a private bed or something, and then get, yeah, no.
The biggest concern is that people would lament the fact that she was using a private jet just to come back for a football game, but there's plenty of private jets being used to go to a football game.
And let's not forget the game's on the West Coast. So getting from Tokyo to Vegas is probably pretty a 10 easy. Or 11 hour flight. And yeah. You're crossing the international date line. So you leave February 10th night. You probably land on February 10th and you got a whole day to spare.
Can I have one request for this weekend? Just one. Can we not have any damn kicker decide a game? Can we not have
that's
that?
Insulting, Pete. That's insulting.
It's not handball.
Yeah, what sport do you cover? Because you're not talking about football, are you?
Yes, I am. I'm talking about football. One game where the kicker doesn't decide it, just so we don't have to see the guy push it wide right or left.
Sean McDermott and Joe Brady need to go play for a touchdown if they don't want to have to put it on Tyler Bass's foot.
Well, they did play for a touchdown. They
felt like they were a little scared.
You know, we had this argument upstairs before, too. I said, I think Larry Hartstein, who's here today, he said they should have used more clock. No, you score. They didn't score anything. You score a touchdown. He tried to score a touchdown. He tried to hit that shot in the back of the end zone, and he got kind of banged on the side, and he couldn't make the throw. You try and score. You're not trying to burn the clock. You're trying to score a touchdown.
If you need a touchdown,
yes, I agree with that. You get it wherever you can because you don't know when you're going to be able to get it. But if you have the field goal in your back pocket,
They didn't have the field goal in their back pocket.
If they would have gotten closer, Sean McDermott's out there.
You're proving my point that the kickers shouldn't be deciding these days. Don't let them decide the damn game.
30 mile an hour win.
Excuses.
Don't give the kicker a pass.
He's the kicker defender. Brady Quinn is the quarterback defender.
It's unbelievable.
No, I'm not giving Tyler Bass a pass. He had to hit that kick. It's under 45
OJ
yards.
OJ Simpson could be a kicker and Breach would defend him.
You got to make that kick.
I mean, if he was playing the wind like he said he was, why wouldn't you aim it to the left and let it blow it back in then? Pete, He missed it.
He did miss. But the wind isn't that easy to figure out because you have the upright flags, and if they're blowing far, then you can gauge what you think it is. But he's on the ground where the wind likely doesn't feel as strong, so you have to use your judgment and figure out how much do I have to count for the wind. And look, that thing started right down the middle as soon as it kicked it and just veered way right, and he looked pretty surprised that the wind was that bad.
When you say they played for the field goal, they ran it on first down, then he threw in that shot into the end zone on second down, and then on third down, he was flushed out of the pocket, probably could have taken a little throw to, I think he had Kincaid in the middle of the field and hit that for about, not a first down and got more yards for the kicker because Lord knows he needed them. But where did you see they were playing for to burn clock?
No, I'm saying I would have run the ball on second or third down to either make the Chiefs use a timeout or just run more clock off.
Why?
And I'm sure a run. Why?
Didn't the Chiefs have three timeouts?
Make them use one.
Well, what? Okay. You make them. You hand the ball off. It was second and nine. You hand the ball off and you get 2 yards. And it's third and seven. Is that making them burn a clock more of an advantage to you than being hitting a pass? It missed it, but
no,
pass
you should get the first things first. You score. You ideally want to score while burning as much clock as possible.
You want to score whatever way you can. If it happens on this next play, so be it. If it happens that you burn clock to get it, so be it. The ideal scenario is to score the touchdown, period.
Okay, and what I'm saying is that, Pete, were the Bills more successful running the ball or throwing the ball?
They ran it. Josh Allen ran it, right.
So why? You don't need to throw two passes when your passing game's not working. Just keep doing what's working, and that's also going to run the clock and use your timeouts. Make the Chiefs use your timeouts.
They should have run the ball on either second or third down and gone for it on fourth down instead of kicking the field goal.
Oh, that's moronic.
In my opinion.
That's moronic. That's idiotic.
4.7 yards per carry.
Yeah, but no.
Run the ball. Run the ball.
Fourth down. You're going to pass on taking a tie and field goal? What the hell's wrong with you?
Go score and win. You can't beat this team in the playoffs.
Come on.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, blind ranking next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, that time of the year, golf is firing up, and it's that time of the show when we fire up a blind ranking. Breach and I will give Pete five items. Pete will rank them blindly, one through five. It's conference championship weekend, so you know we're going to give you some conference championship games. We'll start in the greatest year in the history of the world, 1981, the year I was born.
God help
Chargers, us. Bengals, the Frieza Bowl in 81, Pete.
Breach isn't going to like this, but I'm going to put it at number five.
Wow.
Because that weather ruined what we could have seen with the Chargers passing game. It was awful, terrible. Weather should never decide a football game. It did in that one. That's a five.
I'm going to say one thing real quick about that game, because Chargers fans, apparently, you know, my dad played in that game, and all he would hear all season was that, well, if the weather would have been good, the Chargers would have won because they had Dan Fouts. And he loves to point out that during the regular season, they beat the Chargers 40-17. So this was not a situation. The better team won, Pete. The better team won. Who cares about the weather?
If they were a better team, fine, but they still, it would have been fun to see them both throwing a ball around a little bit in that game.
Well, it's crazy that it could have been Chargers-Cowboys if the next game on our list didn't happen. And the next game is also 1981, Cowboys 49ers. Joe Montana throws three interceptions, but no one remembers that because he connects with Dwight Clark for the catch.
And they also don't remember how close the Cowboys came to coming back down the field after that catch. Remember, they got back in it and almost scored. There's better than that, so I'll give that number two. From a historical standpoint, the catch is iconic, so I'll put it at number two, but there's been better games.
And better catches.
Yeah.
All right. 2006. The Patriots and the Colts. Peyton's revenge game. That wasn't fourth in Jackass, was it? That was during the regular season.
No, that was in the regular season. That was the interception late in the game by Marlon Jackson to seal it.
Colts 38, Pats 34.
That was a great game. I'd put that number one. That was a great game.
We're down 21-3.
Yeah. And remember Marlon Jackson? I think Marlon Jackson had an interception to seal the game late for the Colts instead of the Super Bowl. Brady had the ball, and I think Marlon Jackson picked him off.
Yes, that is correct. 17 seconds left.
I was there.
The Colts would then beat the down in Fort Lauderdale, would beat the Bears after Devin Hester returned.
In the rain.
I remember Mike Freeman always telling us how he was like hiding up underneath the thing, using his laptop or something like that.
It was terrible. The rain was bad that day. All I was in school.
And Pete, you put that at number one?
Yeah, that was a great game.
You have 3 and 4 left. All right, okay. Let's go up to the next one. Harry putting a lot of Ohio teams on here, but this is not a Bengals AFC title game. It is a Cleveland Browns AFC title game. People listening who are young probably don't even remember the Browns ever playing an AFC title game, but they did, and they lost 2 heartbreakers to the Broncos. This one's the 1986 one. John Elway, the drive, and the Browns lose in overtime.
I'll put that at 4.
Ooh.
The drive was phenomenal. It was unreal. Boop, beep, 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 right down the field. Right down the field.
All right. And finally, unfortunately for Breach, he didn't get this one because of how things shook out. But Bengals Chiefs 2021, Burrow out duels Patrick Mahomes to take the Bengals to the Super Bowl and lose to my Rams.
You know what's great about it? It was a great game, but I have the 2 Bengals games at 4 and 5.
Insulting.
That's just for Breach.
Insulting. This is what I have to deal with week in and week out. All right.
That'll do it for us. Those are the best conference championship games, the blind ranking. Would you change anything if you were doing your...
Not blind?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably... Read them to me how I put them down again. It was
so you have 1 Patriots Colts, 2 the catch, 3 the drive.
I'd probably move the Bengals game up a little, the Bengals Chiefs game up. That was a well played game. I'd probably move that up a little bit.
Okay. All right. That'll do it for us. Tomorrow we got Tuesdays with BMAC. Brady's not gonna be there, but Brian McFadden and Leslie Deuceable plus myself will be there to talk all things football. Give us a like. Comment, subscribe, rate, and review for Pete, for Breach. I'm Brinson. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys later.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.